Good morning. Say that again. Welcome in the name of Jesus. We are Carey Baptist Church, and a special welcome to you if you're a visitor here this morning. It's great to have Rhiannon with us this morning, so good to see you, Rhiannon. Pleasure. Well, I've got to tell you something this morning. You have heard this before, you do know this, but it's well worth repeating this. You are loved by God. You are loved by God deeply and passionately, along with all of creation. We can't do reminding ourselves about that too many times. And how can we know this? How do we know that we're loved by God? Because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. Simply this. Jesus, our great high priest, lives with us and for us and in us. Thanks be to God. We're going to welcome our Zoomers. Unfortunately, this morning we won't be able to see them, but they will be able to hear us. So, okay, we might just be getting them off. Oh, they're just coming up now. All the way out. Oh, yep. I'm still catching up with technology, as ever. But anyway, Pat and Norman, so Hillary and Teen, and somebody, yeah, I'm not sure who this is, by the way. Yeah, so anyway, but welcome. Good to see you, and glad you're able to join us this morning via Zoom. The wonders of modern technology, yes. Now we're going to listen to a song, but let's listen to this song. We have sung it and heard it before, so you can maybe pick it up as we go along. You saw that it was good. This is a song by Resound Worship. You saw that it was good.
What's beginning at your side, this world was formed, all things living. Brought into being by the power of your word. You saw that it was good. You saw that it was good. Help us give you thanks. We let praise and all we should. For all your ways are good. Yes, all your ways are good. God of all creation, all your ways are good. Love for redemption, spoil and remain from nature's laws. We remember the source of healing, flowing out from Jesus Christ. You came down for our good, you came down for our good. Help us live to you. In the hope and faith we should, for all your ways are good, yes, all your ways are good. God of all creation, all your ways are good. We bow down, seek your mercy. Will you give us and still forgive? Holy Spirit, make us determined to reshape the way. Restore all that is good. Restore all that is good. Help us change our hearts so we should live how we should. For all your ways are good. Yes, all your ways are good. God of all creation, all your ways are good. Restore all that is good. Restore all that is good. Help us change our hearts so we show them care we should. For all your ways are good. All your ways are good.
We thank you that by your Holy Spirit you're present amongst us now as we meet in your name. And we ask, Lord, that you would indeed minister to us. Speak to us, we pray. And we ask that we would be a people of your blessing, to share your blessing with others. And Heavenly Father, this morning we do pray for Andre and Arena and their son David at Watford Hospital as we speak. We remember them before you and ask that they would know your presence and help this day and every day. And we pray healing for David. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's join together in praying the prayer Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Amen. I'm just thinking, I think Tamsin was saying that she was hoping to take the young people out 10 minutes past, so not the children, but the young people. So I think 10 minutes in. Where's Tamsin gone? Is she? Oh yeah, that was okay. Right, you're here. So actually, if the youth church want to go out now, we'll pray for you later. Actually, but if you just want to hop out, because I think you've got a bit longer because you're looking at youth alpha, aren't you? So yeah. So bless you. Okay, we'll be praying for you later. Right. Thanks, Jill. Cheers. Now I'd like to ask if some of the children might like to come and join me at the front. Right now, I have a task, a challenge for you. It's not a difficult one. So I was thinking about possibly Caleb and Joshua and possibly Miles. Others, don't know, whatever. It'd be great. This is a counting challenge, okay? Counting challenge. Do you think you're up to that? Yep, well come on in. You want to come down? Come down the front so we can see you do this counting challenge. Like I say, it's not that difficult, but you know, it's kind of interesting. Hopefully, you'll find it interesting. Right, okay, if you want to stand in front of me here, that's it, and we'll just wait for Miles to come down. He's just fighting his way past his mum as we speak. Oh, no, Joshua, you're not going out yet. Stay here for the moment. You'll be going out in a minute, okay? All right? Yeah. Okay, right, now then. Well, brilliant, we've got all three of you. Excellent. So, how many teeth have you got? How many teeth have you got? You might want to start counting, either using your tongue or a finger, okay? How many teeth have you got?
I can't.
You can't? Why not?
Because I don't see my teeth.
No, well, that's true. You don't. Well, but you can actually count them by using your tongue or using a finger. How about that?
But why don't you put your finger in your mouth so
Yeah.
And it can be your teeth.
Exactly, that's right. So if you got to, you see, Miles is doing it. Miles has started doing it. See? I think Miles is showing us how to do it. I'm not suggesting that everybody here does it. And I'm not going to ask the adults the same question because we'll get all sorts of different answers, okay? So we're not going to go there, but I'm asking the children, okay? 25. Okay, all right, okay. Well, okay, that's good. Excellent. good counting. Now, according to Google, children only have 20 teeth, so you may have kind of double counted, or possibly you might have some more teeth in your mouth than other children do. It's possible, so okay. But we, according to Google again, adults supposedly have 36 teeth. Okay, supposedly.
I don't really know how much.
No, you don't know. Okay, but well, I think Caleb is trying to count at the moment, aren't you? Yeah, getting there. Keep counting. Yep. Okay. But I have another question for you. While you're still counting, how many teeth did you have when you were a little baby? When you first were born, how many teeth did you have in your mouth then?
Zero.
Good answer. Absolutely. So where have those teeth come from? That's what I want to know. Where have they come from?
I know 17.
17. Okay, that could be because I think you've lost one or two, haven't you? Actually, so yeah, you could have possibly 17. Sorry, Miles, you were saying. They're for eating, that's right. Well, yes, that's, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You need your teeth
they're
for eating.
Not to eat.
Yep. Yes, absolutely. So chew food, that's right. You need them. We all need teeth to chew food with, don't we? That's right, yes, yeah. Okay, right, excellent. Brilliant. So the thing is, okay. So we've established that you've got about 20 teeth now, okay? There, give or take. We've established you didn't have any when you were a baby. So where have these teeth come from? How have they arrived in your mouth?
I think blood vessels in your mouth.
Well, it's possible, but they kind of just grew, didn't they? They kind of just grew.
God made them.
Well, yeah, absolutely, yeah, that's right. God made them. That's a good one. Just you went, well done, brilliant. That's right. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. Okay, your teeth are a picture of the gospel of Jesus, the good news of Jesus. Would you believe that? Your teeth are a picture of the kingdom of God. Okay. Well, yeah, absolutely. Your mouth is a kingdom. That's right, yeah. Everyone's mouth is a kingdom. That's right, absolutely. Our teeth remind us, don't they, that God is at work secretly all of the time.
One thing, that is the king.
I didn't quite catch that one. Anyway, yeah, something about a king, anyway. So, okay. So I can see I'm confusing you. I'm confusing the matter here. But, okay. The point, you listen to your big brother now. Listen to your big brother, that's it. Yes. So the point is, these teeth have grown secretly since you were born, haven't they? Kind of quietly just been getting on with growing, okay, without us noticing a lot of the time. Okay, so that's a picture of the kingdom of God. God is like that. He's like an undercover cop, an international agent, working away secretly all the time for our good and for the good of all creation. Okay? So that is the good news. But like your teeth, growing quietly and secretly, we need to be patient and to wait to see what God has been doing. Okay? Wait to see what God has been doing. Okay, you can go and sit down now because you're not quite going to your group yet, but very soon, okay?
But guess what? I've got
before adult teeth. Oh, yes, you've already grown adult teeth, yes. So halfway, yeah, you've got to get to halfway stage, so you've got some child's teeth and some adult teeth as well. That's right, yeah. So, yeah, that's it. I thought you might be. Have you had any visits from the Tooth Fairy? No, that's true. Yeah, Tooth Fairy does not exist. Well, we're getting some truth here this morning, aren't we? Oh dear, you've given the game away there, actually. Okay, right, okay. Well, okay. Well, anyway, if you'd like to go and sit down now, I know you kind of got used to standing up here now, but. Very soon. I'll tell you in a minute. They're very key to well done, thank you. Our three helpers, brilliant. Marvellous. Fantastic. Right. Well, we're going to sing a song now which reflects upon this theme. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. So it's a good kind of picture of, our teeth rising as well, but strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord.
Thank you.
So Caleb and Joshua, after the offering, just in a minute, you're going to be going out to children's church, okay? Yep. Okay, so we're going to take up the offering now. Let's continue to worship God as we take up our morning offering. Please stand. Heavenly Father, we wait upon you, our strength, our hope, and we trust as we bring you this offering, we trust you as we bring this offering, together with the gifts given in other ways, that you will grow a harvest of love and righteousness in our church and in our community. We pray now for the children and young people in their groups. Ask your blessing upon them and their leaders. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Oh, yeah, Miles is coming, I think. Yes, yes, it's dragging their feet now. Here's Chris. Yay, wee. Go on, go for it. Right. Careful. Right, over to Kathleen now for some notices. Okay, thank you. Yep.
Just a couple of things this morning for you. The extraordinary members meeting is almost upon us. It's next Sunday and it will be right after the church service. So we are going to have the church service in the memorial hall next Sunday so that we can just continue into the extraordinary meeting. The clue's in the name, extraordinary, it is for a special reason. So an agenda and papers will be circulated from today that you can see what it's about. So please do try and attend. It's for members and friends of Carey. Since it's communion, we do have a communion retiring offering, and this week it's going to the Liberty Community Money Advice. That just slips off the tongue, doesn't it? It was previously CAP, in case you know, but that's the new name for it now. Yeah. That's all from me.
Yeah. Thanks, Kathleen. Yeah. Okay, so a couple of things extra to all that. First of all, some advanced notice of a summer walk we're organising. 13th of July, do put this in your diaries. It's a summer walk from here over to Dunstable. And we need people to be walking, and also need help, people to be helping out, giving lifts and stuff, and also sending the walkers off from here on their way through the park and then, you know, meeting up with people at the end at Dunstable Downs. So it's hopefully we're gonna have a slightly warmer day and not too much rain as well. So, do put that in your diary. And if you're able to help out in different ways, because there's all sorts of little jobs attached to that, that'd be really helpful to hear about that. But there are leaflets and posters around the place. Secondly, to mention these leaflets you'll see around as well. Join the fight against the climate and nature crisis. There is a bill going before Parliament. Not quite sure when. It's still the timing isn't clear, but it's called the Climate and Nature Bill. And Christians are being advised or encouraged, should I say, to contact their parliamentary candidates, because of course we're in a year of a parliamentary general election. So actually, people are being encouraged to get in touch with their candidates, those who might well be elected in future to be the next government. So part of the next government. So you can see a photo of Chris Packham on the back there, good old Chris Packham. But it's worth having a look at that and seeing what we can do to add our voice to this important campaign to protect God's creation, to care for God's creation. Okay, I think that's it, unless we've got any... birthdays, have we? Have we got any birthdays this week? No? Nobody's got any birthdays. Okay, wonderful. We'll move on then. Okay. We're going to sing Be Thou My Vision. Be Thou My Vision. Please be seated. Now Margaret is going to come and read to us our first reading. This is indeed a reading about a vision that was given to a prophet many moons ago, but is relevant to us today. So that's why, one of the reasons why we sang, "Be Thou My Vision."
So our first reading is taken from the Old Testament in the book of Habakkuk. We're reading from chapter 1, starting at verse 12. This can be found on page 940 of the Old Testament section of the Bible. Habakkuk's second complaint. Lord, are you not from everlasting? My God, my Holy One, you will never die. You, Lord, have appointed them to execute judgment. You, my rock, have ordained them to punish. Your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrongdoing. Why then do you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent while the wicked swallow up those more righteous than themselves? You have made people like the fish in the sea, like the sea creatures that have no ruler. The wicked foe pulls all of them up with hooks. He catches them in his net. He gathers them up in his dragnet. And so he rejoices and is glad. Therefore, he sacrifices to his net and burns incense to his dragnet. For by his net he lives in luxury and enjoys the choicest food. Is he to keep on emptying his net, destroying nations without mercy? I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint. Thanks be to God for his word. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Another stirring hymn, which seems appropriate given the subject matter we're looking at. God is our strength and refuge. I love this hymn, partly because of the tune, the Dan Busters tune. So, let's sing. Stand and sing. Shami is going to come and read to us our second reading, continuing on in the book of the prophet Habakkuk. Thanks, Shami.
The word of God is taken from the book of Habakkuk, so it's a continuation from what Margaret read. Chapter 2, from verses 2 to 14, then it's just 20. 2 to 14, and then verse 20, the last one. The Lord's answer. Then the Lord replied, "Write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that the herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks to the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. See, the enemy is puffed up. His desires are not upright. But the righteous person will live by his faithfulness. Indeed, wine betrays him. He is arrogant and never at rest, because he is as greedy as the grave, and like death, he is never satisfied. He gathers to himself all the nations and takes captive all the peoples. Will not all of them taunt him with ridicule and scorn, saying, 'Woe to him who piles up stolen goods and makes himself of wealth by extortion.' How long must this go on? Will not your creditors suddenly arise? Will they not wake and make you tremble? Then you will become their prey, because you have plundered many nations. The peoples who are left will plunder you, for you have shed human blood. You have destroyed lands and cities and everyone in them. Woe to him who builds his house by unjust gain, setting his nest on high to escape the clutches of ruin. You have plotted the ruin of many peoples, shaming your own house and forfeiting your life. The stones of the wall will cry out, and the beams of the woodwork will echo it. Woe to him who builds a city with bloodshed and establishes a town by injustice. Has not the Lord Almighty determined that the people's labor is not fuel for the fire, that the nations exhaust themselves for nothing? For the earth will be filled with knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea." Now the last verse, verse 20. "The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him." Praise be to God.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Shami. My talk this morning is called "Awful Woe or Joyful Awe." Habakkuk tackles some big, tricky questions and provides some even bigger, amazing answers. At the beginning of the second chapter and at the end of Habakkuk's second complaint to God, the prophet makes this commitment. And this is a paraphrase of Habakkuk's solemn vow. "I will stand, I will look to see what answer God will give to my complaint." Now that's devotion to God. He's committing himself to standing on the ramparts of his city indefinitely, to wait to see what will happen. "I'm going to wait for as long as it takes," he's saying. That's confidence in God's good promises. That's faith. Straight away, here's God's answer. Now that's quick. Straight away, here's God's answer. In the very next two verses, we hear God's reply. But we do not see God's answer. Not quite yet. The revelation is written down by Habakkuk to receive and for him to pass on to others. God is clear that more waiting is required. This revelation waits for its appointed time. It speaks to the end, it will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. Okay, let's ponder this for a moment, shall we? God says here, though it linger, it will not delay. What? I beg your pardon? Surely that's a contradiction, isn't it? No doubt we all know that there are places where Scripture seems to contradict itself. And we can explain that partly by saying that the whole truth is often paradoxical. Truth is often more complex and multifaceted the longer we look. And it's always important to put different scriptures alongside one another so that God's word can have its own dialogue with itself. Scripture interrogates itself, if you like. So a fuller, more beautiful picture emerges. That's why we often have Old Testament and New Testament scriptures together to preach on a Sunday morning. But this short series on Habakkuk is an exception. And today we have an exceptional scripture, because we seem to have a clear contradiction within a single verse of scripture. Lingering but not delaying. Now, one of the ways we could explain this would be to say that our experience of time and God's sense of time is different. And there is something to be said for this. It is, of course, true. But I think there is something more for us to be blessed by here. That this revelation might speak to the end of all things, but this revelation is also now. God's word has been heard and received, so it will be seen and fulfilled both now and in the future. The promises of God dwell in our hearts until the time of their fulfillment. God's people live today for God's tomorrow. We cannot see it right now, but the promise has already been delivered, so it is already here. Hallelujah. We are people of promise, aren't we? People of promise. Is that right? Amen. And yet we're also a complaining people too, like Habakkuk. Like Habakkuk, we complain to God about the way the world is, and we wait to hear and to see God's answer. Do we always like to hear God's answer to our complaints? I'm not sure we can always say yes to this question. After all, the prophecy given to Habakkuk here is full of woe. It is full of woe. There are five woes here, to be specific, but I spared you this morning, and we only read three of these this morning. Those first three woes do give us a flavor of the other two. I felt I wasn't sure we can cope with much more woe right now. Thing is, we expect God to pronounce blessings, don't we? Not so much multiple woes. And God primarily wants to bless us and his creation together. And we do have a point about this, up to a point. There are those scriptures which rightly reassure us that God's anger lasts a moment, but his compassion lasts a lifetime and longer. We see the blessings of God upon all his creation right at the start of our Bibles, and we see Jesus right at the beginning of his ministry pronouncing multiple blessings at the start of his Sermon on the Mount. These Beatitudes have blessed many billions of people throughout history. Many desperate people, desperately seeking God, myself included. Hallelujah. Now you may have sensed a but here, and you're not wrong. We cannot forget that Jesus, later in the same Gospel of Matthew, also pronounces seven woes. Not just five woes, seven woes. A very pointed warning of Jesus to the teachers of the law and the Pharisees, who burdened people with over-strict interpretations of God's law. And there are three woes pronounced over Babylon in the book of Revelation. And we might think that these woes don't at all apply to us. After all, we can't be accused of international robbery, like the Babylonian hordes mentioned here by Habakkuk, can we? We can't be accused of plundering many nations and heaping up wealth, can we? We can't be accused of building cities on bloodshed, can we? We might indeed see how today these scriptures apply to others and to other nations. We might see President Vladimir Putin in the frame here. And Donald Trump, why not include him too? We might want to include Middle Eastern oil states who have profited most from the climate chaos we now see unfolding. We might see the nation of Iran as the most malign influence in the region right now, following its escalating attack on Israel the other week. Murder and attempted murder of innocent civilians on such a scale is indefensible, as with Gaza, of course. And finally, we would definitely put those who run international crime gangs in the frame here. All these are worthy of these woes pronounced over them by God. Just as a bit of an aside here, and this is good news, just this week, UK police forces have taken out an international network of online scammers. Did you read about it? You may even see it on the news, actually. But 37 people have just been arrested from this cut crime network, a gang associated with a particular dark website, which stole an estimated £1 million from people and probably much, much more. People arrested at Manchester and just down the road, Luton Airport. And this is on the back of two other significant breakthroughs against international fraudsters earlier this year and in 2022. Many of them, sadly, are based here in the UK, and the Met has sent warnings to the emails of 800 criminals that what they thought as easy money is no longer. They're on a list. The police are going to hunt them down. That's the warning. And this is effectively part of God's promise to Habakkuk also. The treacherous who live by and delight in cruelty and injustice will not escape justice. That's God's promise. They will not escape justice. God promises that those who plot ruin will come to ruin. Peoples and nations who try to make money dishonestly and violently will come to nothing and will be fuel to God's fire. This is a woe which God pronounces over the nation of Israel too, right now. Now, if we think that we in the West are exempted from God's woes, we may have to think again. Is it not the case that Britain has been guilty? Britain has been guilty of piling up wealth from other nations. We might wonder, of course, where it's gone to, indeed. And offshore tax havens can tell us about this, but of course they keep stum. But wherever that money has ended up, the fact remains, through the international slave trade and through international trade since slavery was abolished, Britain and other wealthy nations have plundered other nations of the world. And this plunder continues to this day. The Jubilee 2000 campaign, the trade justice movement, the tax justice network have made this revelation plain. It has been clearly revealed for anyone who cares to look. This Sunday is Bank Switch Sunday. Good news. Christians are being encouraged by Operation Noah and other Christian charities to switch away from banking with the big Western-based banks, which continue to invest in fossil fuel projects, amongst other things. They continue to make money from today's climate chaos. God pronounces a woe over them too, indeed, and us as well. You might like to consider if you bank, for example, with Barclays, HSBC, NatWest, Santander, some of the biggest banks, you might want to consider switching to a bank which is not investing in fossil fuel projects. There are more details on Kerry's newsletter for today. There are many current political applications for Habakkuk's prophecy over the nations, but equally there are many spiritual applications for us for today. Habakkuk poses troubling questions about how injustice and bloodshed seem to reign in a world where God is supposed to reign over the nations. God's answer is for us to wait, to pray. God's answer is here and it is coming. But God's answer is also for us to act. We're called to trust and obey, aren't we? We're called to do mercy, to live justly, in the words of another prophet. As the saying goes, all that it takes for evil to triumph is for good people to do nothing. So we need to do more than simply to pray, important though this is. Our lives need to be aligned with God's will, with what is good for us and for all creation. We need to take specific actions to reduce our carbon footprint, not maintaining or increasing our carbon footprint for the sake of all God's creation. That might mean flying less, changing our eating habits, or our energy provider. Big questions demand big answers, as well as our small part in these big answers. Habakkuk's small part was to take a particular stand and to watch and wait. He poses a troubling question about how it is possible for God to use big disasters to bring about even bigger positive outcomes. Well, God did have a big answer, a simple answer. God's answer to all our complaints and all our prayers is the same. God says, I am the great I am, and I give myself to you. God's perfect answer to all the sin and suffering of the world is the gift of Jesus, our righteous and suffering Savior. Hallelujah. God has determined and is determined that he will redeem all creation by the blood of Jesus, the Lamb of God who was slain before the creation of the world. And as if that isn't enough, God has shown his commitment to us and all creation by another gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit. The disciples were told, after they saw Jesus raised from the dead, to wait for this gift. This gift might linger, but he won't delay. As we receive bread and wine in a moment, as we gather around the Lord's table, we know that we're not just remembering Jesus' death and resurrection in the past, but that by the Holy Spirit, we are celebrating his life among us today. God's promise is for us, and it is for today. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift, the gift of God's Son, the gift of God's Spirit. And as we celebrate God's promised presence with us now, we celebrate God's promise for the future. Injustice will exhaust itself. That's what Habakkuk wrote those centuries ago. Injustice will exhaust itself, and the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God. Hallelujah. So let us commit ourselves to waiting on God between now and Pentecost Sunday, over the next few Sundays. God's Spirit is here. God's Spirit will come. Let's commit ourselves to trusting and obeying in prayer and action in the coming days. As we prepare to receive bread and wine in a moment, we're going to sing a song of faith and commitment, a song declaring with Habakkuk our personal determination to watch and wait and walk with God. We're going to sing this song before we gather around the Lord's table. I give you my heart. I give you my heart.
This is my desire to worship you, Lord, with all I am, I worship you. And all that is within me, I give you praise. All that I am, worship you. Lord, I give you my heart. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away. Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away, Lord, have your way in me. This is my desire to worship you, Lord, with all I am, I worship you. Give you I worship you. Lord, I give you my heart. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away. Lord, have your way. Sing it again. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath I take, every moment I'm away. Lord, have your way in me.
Thank you, Prince. This is our desire, to worship the Lord with all that we have, all that we are. So here's our invitation from the Lord himself. Come to this table, not because you must, but because you may. Not because you are strong, but because you are weak. Come not because any goodness of your own gives you a right to come, but because you need mercy and help. Come because you love the Lord a little and would like to love him more. Come because he loved you and gave himself for you. Come and meet the risen Christ, for we are his body. This table is open to all those who love the Lord Jesus and seek to follow him in their daily lives. But if you don't feel for whatever reason that you can take part, then simply allow the bread and wine to pass when they're brought round in a moment. Let's be quiet as we reflect upon the meaning of this bread and wine, and then Kathleen will lead us in a prayer of thanks.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to this table to remember the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ. We approach with reverence the celebration of our salvation, which came at such a great cost on Calvary's Hill. Christ fulfilled his mission on earth to seek and save the lost. He lived a life without sin. Even Pilate could find no sin with which to convict. Yet Christ was crucified and took away our sins. My sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part but the whole, is nailed to his cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Christ died that we might live, and live that we might never die. Stay by our side, dear Lord, as we remember your sacrifice and strive to follow your teachings and become stronger Christians in everything we say and do. Amen.
The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." This is the bread of life. Let us eat with thanksgiving as we receive it. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." We're going to drink together as a reminder that we are one body. When we bless the cup of blessing, is it not a means of sharing in the blood of Christ? When we break the bread, is it not a means of sharing in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we, many as we are one body, for we all share one loaf. This is the cup of salvation. Thanks be to God. Will now lead us in some prayers for our world, a world that Christ died for. Let's pray. Living God, we look at the world and at our lives, and we're dismayed sometimes at how little seems to change. May your grace bring hope, your love bring new beginnings. Heavenly Father, we pray for people living in nations who are at war. Remember the people of Ukraine and Russia too. And pray for the people of Gaza and the Palestinian territories and Israel and the wider Middle East. And pray for Yemen and countries in the Horn of Africa. Too much bloodshed in too many places. Not enough being done to secure and build peace. Living God, we go on making the same mistakes we've always made. And all around us, there seems to be as much sorrow, suffering, hatred, and evil as there has ever been. May your grace bring hope, your love bring new beginnings. Help us to hold on to the conviction that life can change, to remember how in the resurrection of Christ, you overcame the power of sin and death. May your grace bring hope. Your love bring new beginnings, we pray. Help us to remember that though everything may seem to conspire against you, you have won the victory through Christ, a victory that nothing can ever undo, and that so may we trust in your ability to transform and renew all things. May your grace bring hope and your love bring new beginnings. And we bring to you in our prayers this community of Carey. We remember before you those suffering in different ways due to their own health issues or health problems of their friends and family. In the quiet now, we remember before you those on our hearts and minds. And living God, we pray for the wider community of Hemel Hempstead and beyond, for those with housing problems or without a home, for those with work problems or unemployed, for those facing debt and bankruptcy, for those experiencing bereavement or chronic illness. We trust in your resurrection power to bring life to each one, and to restore and revive our communities. In the name of our risen Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our closing hymn, "Great is Your Faithfulness." Let's continue to praise God for His goodness and faithfulness to us. Just like to say a thank you to all of you for coming this morning, for taking part in this time of worship together, for all those who've helped out on the tech and with the music and those readings. Thanks very much. And also to say there is tea and coffee afterwards in the hall, so don't rush away. You can come and have some tea and coffee and possibly other things to nibble. I don't know. We'll see. But anyway, some cake. There might be some cake. But now the blessing. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.